Cavaliers taking on the Boston Celtics tonight. They are out in Boston, 7:30 tip time. We'll have it for you here on AM 930 WEOL. One of the voices that you will hear, Jim Jones, and he's kind enough to give us some of his time. Jim, thank you so much for joining us as always. And I want to begin with the end of that last road trip for the Cavaliers, and what an incredibly difficult task it was to land around 4:30 in the morning on Sunday, and then have to turn around and play right away again at 1 o'clock on Monday. Give us an idea as to just how wild that stretch was, Jim.
Well, however hard it was on us that don't play, it was 10 times that on the players, because the last three games were played in 4 days, and it was the end of a road trip. All of those teams that we played were fighting for playoff positioning, and it was very difficult for our young players, and it was very difficult for everyone, the coaching staff, mainly because we had two of our key bigs down, and those particular teams we played had significant post play, and the only experienced person we had was Channing Frye, who doesn't play a lot of minutes, and the young Zizic, Ante Zizic, and he tried. Fry tried, but they just didn't have enough to be competitive enough to overturn the foe. It was very difficult because of the hour change, but more so from the level of competition based upon where we are as far as injuries, as far as inexperience. I mean, when Jetty Osman is your power forward, you know, and he can play the two or the three or the swing, and you're forcing him to play down below, becomes very difficult.
No question about that. Coach Drew actually told a story to some of the media members just before Monday's game that some of the guys were actually getting out and helping push cars out of
the
snow.
Were.
Yes. So you were there for all that when they were pushing cars out?
Yeah, I had my Raptor, and I went around. In fact, my truck has a mind of its own. It looks for snow, sand, gravel, ditches, anything that's off-road. And I passed them, but there were about 15 guys out pushing the car, so they definitely didn't need my help. But that's part of it. You know, that's part of the league getting in late at night during blizzards or whatever. Lucky to land, but all of that contributes. And let's make it clear that we're not making an excuse. We're just trying to get people an idea of how difficult it's been for this team.
Well, I mean, you might think, oh, good, a home game comes at the end of that. But really, I mean, they were right back on the road in Boston tonight, and then they head down south again and in Chicago again. How hard is that kind of turnaround when you really only get a glimpse of being at home?
Well, it's been a hectic 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks, if you want to call it. And this is the Ides of March for us. We were warned that it was going to be very difficult. They were trying to get emotionally prepared. But because of our inexperience and a lack of veteran players, and especially our bigs, we weren't able to really give the kind of fight that our fans expect. They were overwhelmed on this trip. The one thing that I did like is that they never quit playing. I thought they played awfully hard. They just couldn't match up against the opposition, especially in those 3 and 4 days.
Well, I guess as the great Joe Tate once said, yeah, you've got 82 of these things. You're going to play 41 on the road. You're going to play 41 at home. And, you know, somehow you got to get to the finish line at the end, depending on how things shake out. You had alluded earlier, Jim, to the play of Ante Zizic. And, you know, this is a guy I kind of feel like throughout the course of the season, we kind of have seen him in spurts. And with the injuries to all the bigs, which you certainly alluded to earlier, this has provided a few extra opportunities for him. What are some of your thoughts on the progress he's made this year?
Well, he's gotten better over the last couple of years, but he hasn't had enough consistent minutes on the floor because the experiences are here today and gone tomorrow. He's not better than Tristan. He's definitely not better than Love. And so you put those two guys ahead of him, they have demanded all the minutes. And when we go small ball, either one of those guys or neither are in the game. So there haven't been many minutes for him to play. You know. Let me give you an example of what he faces tonight. Tonight, we're not going to say he's better than these guys, but let's look at it like this: would he get any minutes if with Horford on the floor? Probably not. Would he get any minutes if Baines was on the floor? You know, if he was on the Celtics? Probably not. would he get any minutes against Steese, who I think is one of the most athletic, big, young players in our league? No. And then they've got a dominating rookie who can block shots like turning off the bedroom light in Williams, and he wouldn't play. So now we're putting him out there against all of these guys tonight. And he's going to make a good effort, and he's going to stay positive, but it's going to be very difficult for him.
Boston Celtics standing in the way of the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight. Again, Jim Jones with the Cleveland Cavaliers Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. I wanted to get your thoughts on this. Now, Kyrie Irving, of course, as we learned earlier today, not going to play tonight because of flu-like symptoms. And this is the first time we've had the chance to talk to you about, you know, the news that broke, I think, about a week ago. Kyrie apologizing to LeBron. Just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on that whole situation and how this whole thing is broken down. I mean, you know, Kyrie, I mean, even though he's not playing tonight, he's been on a tear of late. At least he's scored a ton for the Celtics over the last 5 to 10 games. But I just kind of found that bizarre. I mean, here we are, you know, a little over a year since, you know, they made this deal. And now we're getting details about how he felt like he owed LeBron an apology for the way he handled that situation.
Well, I don't know. I don't have much to say about it other than I don't think he has to apologize for being young and inexperienced. I don't think you have to apologize for that. But he did. Supposedly he did. But the tear that he's been on is he's always wanted to be the man. Okay, you're the man now. Carry them. And you have no excuses because they're a talented team, and he's done just that. Not only has he scored points, which we know that next to Harden, he scores the easiest in our league, even over Klay Thompson and Curry. Nobody scores like Kyrie, inside, outside, you know, big-time shots, big-time free throws. Nobody does that in our league better than Harden and Kyrie. But what he's also done over the last two games, he's had two consecutive games of 10 assists. So he's getting his teammates involved, something that LeBron and the Cavs staff had always tried to push him to do. You're going to be out there long enough, it's all right to get other guys involved. And now he's doing that, and they become a better team.
Yeah, they certainly have, and you'd like to think that, you know, they've got the pieces in place to become and remain the class of the East for quite some time. And if you take a look at the way things have gone in the league over the last couple of weeks here, it's awfully difficult to ignore the production from a James Harden. I mean, what he's doing right now, Jim, is just out of this world. And, you know, he's doing it as more of a scorer. You mentioned that Kyrie's doing it as a scorer and a facilitator. You know, here we talk a lot about Colin Sexton, and I think we all hope that he becomes that, not just a scorer, but a guy who can become a facilitator in it as well. And I know he's a name we talk about when we speak with you every single week. And, you know, he's kind of come under the gun because of some criticism in recent weeks. And fair or unfair, I'm not quite sure at this point. I think what we lose sight of all the time is the fact that he is so incredibly young, and he's also playing with different personnel groupings every single week as a result of a wide variety of different things, whether it be injuries, whether it be different rotations, you name it. And I think that's got to matter to some degree, doesn't it? I mean, yes. You know,
I think it matters. I think it's everything. I think all the above. And even more, think about it. 2 years ago, he was in high school. He was graduating out of high school about 2 years ago. And then he goes and plays. And in high school, he had high school ball plus AAU, and he was a man playing a certain style. Then he plays 1 year at Alabama, and basically he's played the same style. Score, 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 you know. And he was very good at it. Now he comes into our game, and we're demanding – and the game demands that if you're going to touch the ball that many times, you've got to do more things with it than just score. So when you're not on the floor, when you're not scoring, you have to do other things. And like you've mentioned, and I've mentioned it a few times, with the changing of lineups and injuries, he's got different teammates almost every night, and that makes it very difficult to get a rhythm, anticipate where guys are going to be, and make things happen on the defensive end. And also, more importantly, getting the ball to the right people has been very difficult for him. So I'm not trying to defend him, but I think people need to widen their perspective and judgment and be more observant and try to get an understanding of what this kid is going through. He's probably played on better teams in college and in high school than this team right now, who is really struggling. and it's very difficult. So what does he do? As a human being, he resorts back to what he has confidence in, scoring the ball, mid-range jumper, coast-to-coast layups, trying to finish at the rim. He's been good from the free-throw line. He knows there's other things he needs to work on. But when the game gets tough and it becomes very challenging and his confidence starts to fade, we all would go back to what we do best. And that's what he does. He goes back to what he does best, scoring. Things will even out a little more toward the end of the season. He'll have a better feel for guys no matter what lineups they put in the game. Drew has not given up on him. He's encouraged him and tried to help him during the game, after the game, before the game. All our coaches are watching film with him. We all try to keep encouraging him because this is a very difficult time for a young player. It's very difficult for a veteran player, but it's got to be 100 times more difficult for a young player who's never experienced this.
How much do you think a year like this could help him down the road? I mean, we could take a look at the wins and losses all we want, but the bottom line is, for a kid like that, you can learn a lot from a season like this. We've talked a lot about working with different personnel groupings and working through some things and learning how to handle adversity. How much do you think a year like this could really help him down the road?
Well, I don't know. I really don't know. It's going to be up to him. I know my college coach used to say, I don't learn much from losing, but I learn a whole hell of a lot from winning. So it's very difficult for him right now. But I think the denominator is, in order for him to become a better player, he has to continue to compete. He'll make mistakes. He'll fade back into his bad habits because that's where his confidence is. But he's got to compete. He can't give in to the struggle. He can't give in to the challenges. He's got to keep developing a routine that's going to help him later on when he gets surrounded by better players.
No question about it. And, of course, he'll take center stage with the Cavaliers a little bit later on tonight. The Cavs taking on the Boston Celtics, 7 o'clock pregame, 7:30 tip time. Jim, as you take a look at this matchup tonight between the Cavaliers and the Celtics, which matchups are you eagerly anticipating tonight?
Well, all of them. All of them are going to be tough. This is the most talented team in the East. They're all going to be tough. They caught a break tonight. Kyrie's not playing. So they play differently when Kyrie's not there. And that difference meaning that Jaylen becomes more prominent, and so does the kid Tatum. They start doing things. The people I think it hurts are going to be guys like Horford. Because of his immobility, he needs a little more help and more management in getting the shots that he needs. But at least those players who are road runners, when they were successful last year without Kyrie, will now have a chance to loosen the reins and play faster. And when they play faster, they're pretty good. You turn that ball over, they're gone. They're an exceptional team, well-coached, but they're still trying to find themselves. And with Kyrie out, that just throws a nick in the wheel, you know, because when you lose a great player, there's a loss of momentum.
No doubt about it. Again, Cavs and the Celtics, 7:30 tip time. Pregame begins at 7 o'clock tonight. Jim, always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much for the time. Enjoy Boston this evening, and we'll see you again next week.
Okay. Talk to you later.
Thank you, Jim. Again, Jim Jones with the Cleveland Cavaliers Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Again, Cavaliers and Celtics tonight. Cavaliers on Friday taking on the Miami Heat, and then they are back at it again against Chicago on Sunday. This is a rough stretch for the Cavaliers.
Silly. I mean, that to me has to be one of the hardest things. They talk about a home game on Monday. To me, that they might as well just been on the road, because I believe they left pretty soon after that game concluded on the way to Boston, play against the Celtics tonight. I think they're, what, down in Miami? I guess they're back from Miami coming up on Friday night. So at least you get a little more accustomed to home. But yikes, what a stretch for the Cavaliers, especially a team that's having the struggles they're having right now.
You're accustomed to home, only to go right back on the road again to take on the Bulls Chicago on Sunday.
Team that's been their everyone's been their kryptonite. But the Bulls are 3-0 against the Cavaliers this year, and they're really one of the only teams the Cavs should be able to match up with against pretty well.
Well, a week from this Saturday, it's the Cavs and Mavs on Saturday, February the 2nd. Want tickets? Well, you're in luck if you're the first person to call, thanks to our friends at your locally owned and operated North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. You could win a four-pack of tickets. Just be the first to call, 440-322-0930. That's 440-322-0930. If you're the first one to call, you'll win a four-pack of tickets. on Saturday, February 2nd, to see the Cavaliers take on the Dallas Mavericks. You'll also get a swag bag as well.